If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
This episode sponsored by Forkful. Most meal delivery services promise healthy food, but look closer, and you'll often find cheap industrial seed oils hiding in the ingredients. Forkful does things differently. Forkful delivers chef-prepared meals made with premium ingredients you'd expect at a great restaurant, from center-cut filet mignon to wild-caught lobster mac and cheese. And every meal is 100% seed oil-free. Instead of canola or soybean oil, Forkful chefs cook with extra virgin olive oil, avocado oil, and grass-fed butter. Because better fats make better food. Meals arrive fresh, never frozen, with clear nutrition and ingredient transparency, so you always know exactly what you're eating. Restaurant-quality meals, real ingredients, no seed oils. Discover Forkful today at ForkfulMeals.com.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Where's Fielder?
He's gone to the dogs.
Hello, folks, and welcome to the Gone to the Dogs podcast. Steve Fielder with you here today. Doing things a little bit differently. I'm on the way up to Alabama to overnight my buddy Nubbin Moore, and then we're going on over to Batesville, Mississippi to the Winter Classic. And so as things will happen, it was a short week and trying to get a podcast ready for, next week, which is actually the one you're listening to, just kind of ran out of time, man. So got some road noise here. Don't know if this is going to work out or not, but going to try to give it a try here today. I'm rolling up Highway 19 on the west coast of Florida. I'm going to stick with the coastline pretty much all the way up until I reach Interstate 10, which runs east and west across northern Florida. If I were to take I-10 to the west, it would take me over toward Tallahassee and even ultimately all the way over into Louisiana, Texas, Louisiana. I have driven that road all the way from Phoenix, which is a long, long way. But anyway, I'm going to just kind of try to give you a little local color from the state of Florida. We'll talk a little bit about Florida and Florida hunting and what it's like down here. This is a time of year in February that most of the coon hunting gets done, at least hunting with any kind of enjoyment. Otherwise, you know, it's very, very hot down here, very humid. The summertime is rough. It's really rough. It's tough on dogs. It's tough on people. And quite honestly, it's just something that I don't do. I tried it when I first came down here, or when I was a young buck back in the 60s, attending college down here in Central Florida. You bet, I was out there every chance I could get. But that all changes with age. And I'm simply not going to. When I walk out the door, and as I've said many times, it feels like sticking my head in the oven to check on the pizza. That's too, just too hot and too humid to hunt. Now, this Route 19 was probably the westernmost route that northerners would take when coming down to Florida if they were going on down to St. Pete, Clearwater, those beaches and so forth years ago. They would have driven this Highway 19. It's U.S. 19. And it's a great highway these days. It's a four-lane with a median in the center. Very nicely paved. And you're getting some road noise from the truck. But that's no fault of the highway. It's at this time of year, you know, our native trees here that you see from the roadways and all are predominantly live oak trees. The live oaks have an acorn on them that the game eat, the deer, the coons, everything eats, some turkeys and all. They do somewhat shed their leaves in the summertime, the wintertime. And looking along the highways, you're also going to see that the woods in Florida are very thick. They're not open. They're not like the delta of Arkansas or Mississippi. Lots of underbrush, lots of palmettos, which are those sharp fans, the sharp leaves, and vines, lots and lots and lots of vines. And at this time of year, the vines are dormant and you know, don't have any leaves on them, but you can really see how viney these woods are. When you tree a coon down here, you know, he's more than likely going to be up in those vines somewhere and pretty hard to find. I'd say these thermal scopes come in real handy for the Florida hunters at this time of year. There's several small towns up along this Highway 19. This is north of the beaches that you normally associate with West Florida. I live in Port Richey. From there, coming north, they call it the Nature Coast. The beaches are going to be south of me in places like Clearwater and St. Pete Beach and all the beaches down around St. Pete, Madeira Beach, Indian Rocks, all of those, Treasure Island, Paso Grill, beautiful, beautiful Florida beaches. But this area up here is more of the old Florida. This is the area where you're going to see the old abandoned motels. There's something I wanted to get to there earlier is that there used to be several motels on these highways. Another route, north-south route through Florida that pretty much goes through the central part of Florida is Route 301. Now, I'm in a little town right now. I'm going to have to check the name of it. But I just noticed a drop in the speed limit. Florida is notorious for speed traps, especially on these highways that are off the interstate. And so you got to really watch or you get, you know, that Smokey will be giving out green stamps. I'm here right now crossing the historic Suwannee River. If you ever heard that song, Stephen Foster, way down upon the Suwannee River, far, far away. This is where I am right now. The Suwannee River, and the state of Florida has posted a sign, they like lots of signs, calling this the Nature Coast Trail. Off to my left is an RV campground. Now, the snowbirds, and for those of you who don't know what a snowbird is, that's the people who come down and spend the winter in Florida and then fly back home, you know, when the weather starts warming up here. It's too warm for them here. They go back up north where the weather's milder and they usually spend the summer there. Most of the snowbirds are here from April to about November, maybe late October, and then they go back. Now, I see a motor home here pulling a full-size Jeep with a canoe strapped to the top heading south. Now, that's definitely a northerner coming down to Florida to enjoy the fishing at this time of year. February is one of the better months for fishing. March, April, before things really heat up. Here's the Suwannee Gables Motel, typical old style motel. Got a little swimming pool out front. I doubt that they rent, you know, a half a dozen rooms a week. But some of those old motels are still here. When I first came to Florida in the 1960s, I noticed, you know, the roads off to the sides of the main highways are all sand roads, mostly two track. Some of them have gates and others don't. There's a lot of deer hunting activity down here. A lot of hound hunting with deer dogs, very popular sport, and especially in this part of Florida. And over to the, I'm right now, let me see here. I am 101 miles north of my home in Port Richey, Florida. This area would be one of the areas where you would be apt to. As I was saying, this is an area where you are apt to see a lot of dog boxes on the backs of pickup trucks. The Florida-type dog box is what I call a summertime box. It's basically a frame that slides in the back of a pickup. It's open-sided, would have a roof on it. And most likely you'll see the box also have a cooler, like a Yeti or something, strapped to the top of the dog box. And these guys, of course, use, I don't know anymore if they use a lot of marine band type radios, FM radios to communicate with all the technology we have otherwise nowadays. I'm not sure. But anyway, we are stopped momentarily here at the junction of Northeast Highway 349 and US 19. This is 27, 19, and 98 highways heading north. And this is what they commonly call Old Town, Florida. 9 miles I'll be in Cross City, and another 51 miles I'll be in Perry, Florida. Perry, Florida is an area that we used to send casts to out of the UKC Winter Classic in Albany, Georgia. And the guys would tree coons down here, but they complained about the woods being very, very thick. Speaking of Albany, and Albany, as they call it down here, I will be heading through the Albany today. And there I will turn this truck in a northwesterly direction toward Columbus, Georgia. Now, right there along the road, in the ditch, I saw a tremendously large wild hog that had been hit and was laying over in the ditch. Wild hogs are everywhere in Florida, and they're all kinds. Most of them are feral hogs. You may see them spotted and all different color combinations. That was a black one and rather large. I don't know if it was a boar or sow. Apparently been hit by a vehicle and died in the overflow ditch. Now, that's one thing down here. When it rains hard, and there's no elevation, you know, no grade really. Much for the water to run off. So there's a lot of retention ponds, and I guess I don't know what they call them, but I call them ditches. That's good enough. Going to be a nice day here in Florida. Some high clouds, temperature 67 degrees. I don't know. Florida's just a different experience. If you've never been down here, absolutely put it on your bucket list. If nothing more, to go see Mickey, which I try to avoid at all costs. I avoid the tourist traps. I like to get out and, you know, experience the old Florida. And if you want more of that, if you go over in more into the interior, now I'm basically following the coastline of the Gulf of America, heading up to the Big Bend, which is where the northern peninsula of Florida, or the West Florida, they call it, turns off to the left or to the west. Because of the tourism down here, the highway departments stay pretty busy keeping everything clean. I just passed a couple of workers on ATVs with buckets mounted on the front, and they're picking up paper out of the medians. So the highways look pretty pristine, and that's all part of the appeal to the tourists that come to Florida. Now, if you come down here at this time of year, you're not going to see very much lush green. You'll see that in summertime. But anyway, Florida had a bear season this year. I think around 50 bears were killed. they did not permit the use of hounds. Hopefully that will be coming in a year or two. At least that's what they say. So anyway, we're just enjoying the drive out here today. We're going to the Winter Classic, Nubbin and I. We decided here about a month ago that, we weren't doing anything else. We might as well go on up to Batesville, Mississippi. And because of this polar vortex or whatever, this terrifically cold weather that we've been experiencing here lately, there were a lot of ice storms over in that Mississippi area, and there were a lot of road crews from other states, power crews, I should say, that came into that area to restore power. And they were staging at the Civic Center there in Batesville is one of the places. So it was questionable whether or not this Winter Classic would go off this year. But apparently they've got all that taken care of. The weather's looking pretty good. The Winter Classic will be over by the time you are listening to this podcast. This is something that's interesting. A four-wheeler loaded with a four-wheeler. Listen to me. An 18-wheeler loaded with lumber. It just came from a, looked like they must make two befores in that plant. But he had a bunch of that flatbed trailer was totally loaded with lumber. Heading south, so I guess they're continuing the building. They are absolutely ruining the old, natural, pristine, wild Florida. Building everywhere you look, condos, single-family homes, just ridiculous. In our area, there's a joke, if they start to build something, it's either a storage facility or a car wash. Apparently, people who come to Florida, they like to wash their car a lot. And I don't understand that, because a car doesn't get dirty down here very, very easily. I'm now in Cross City, Florida. Now, I don't know. I wish I had the ability to Google each of these towns that I'm going through. And this is, this highway is dedicated to Captain Alan Reed Jr., apparently a military or perhaps a policeman that they're honoring by naming this highway after him. But anyway, back to the Winter Classic. I remember very, very well the foundings of the Winter Classic. I was at UKC. It was my responsibility to find a location for a UKC hunt similar to the Grand American, which had been held since 1965 in Orangeburg, South Carolina, had been partially UKC, partially ACHA licensed. Went back and forth. Ultimately, the ACHA became the AKC. AKC had the Grand American. So anyway, we wanted to put a hunt in the Deep South. And after 2 days of searching through 9 different fairgrounds, decided on Albany, Georgia, the South Daugherty Community Center, beautiful place out in the country. And that's where we held the first Winter Classic. I think the year was either 87 or 88. I'll have to look that up. Remember very well that first year. Remember how beautiful the setting was. We rented a circus-type tent to hold the bench shows and all the, gatherings that we would need there for calling casts and so forth. Here's another one of these trucks is trying to take over my side of the highway. Must be a lot of timbering up in this area here. Okay, there's the Putnam Lodge. Man, what a fancy place it would have been 40 years ago. Doesn't look like too much now. There's a lot of fixer-uppers along this highway for sure. But anyway, the old saying, you build it, they'll come. And they certainly did come to the Winter Classic in Albany, to the point that we were concerned about having place under roof for the participants should there be, inclement weather. And so we worked through the Chamber of Commerce and got acquainted with the good folks at the Albany Exchange Club. And they happen to have a fairgrounds right there in the city of Albany. And we contracted for that and held the Winter Classic there for many years. And that's where it was being held when I left UKC to go to work for PKC. But it wasn't long thereafter that the powers that be at UKC decided to move the Winter Classic to Batesville, Mississippi. There is a state-of-the-art civic center there, a large arena. They hold monster truck shows there and so forth. So they moved it over to Batesville, Mississippi, and that's where it has remained. My routine, when Nubbin and I go, we didn't go the last couple of years, I don't know whether it's Nubbin's birthday that has kept us away or Valentine's Day and he didn't want to be away from Miss Becky. I don't know why, but we didn't go the last couple of years. But we decided we'd make the trip this year. And I'm not going to build a booth there like normal. We were just going to go and howdy and shake and visit with the folks. And I have a report on that this trip next week. But looking back, talking about the Southland, the Deep South, we named the Winter Classic a classic coon hunt in the Old South. You know, there's quite a history of the plantations, especially around Albany and Thomasville. Thomasville was the location that Woody Guthrie chose for the Sunshine Jamboree that he hosted for PKC for several years on the same weekend as the Winter Classic. And there's, I don't know, probably 50, 60 miles between Thomasville and Albany. Woody was great. He held his event to begin with on Thursday night and would always provide guides for the Winter Classic on Friday and Saturday night. So we appreciated Woody very, very much. I think I might have said Woody Guthrie, who was a folk singer. Woody McCorkle was his name. I have to watch myself, folks. I slip up more than I'm right. But anyway, you'll understand when you're my age. But, I mentioned earlier the hunters would sometimes complain a little bit about having to drive down to Florida. When you put on a hunt of this size, you're going to have... You're going to have some people complaining a little bit about the long drives. It's inevitable. You just simply can't hunt that number of dogs out of one location. even, you know, my PKC days at Aurora, Kentucky, when we were hunting 400 dogs a night for four nights in a row, we had to send them out to area clubs. And there were several of them. So that's just the nature of the beast. Nowadays, when you see some of these larger money hunts, there aren't that many hunters involved in them. And it's fairly easy to get those casts out to the woods in a reasonably short time. But we're talking the glory days of coon hunting, when there were, for years, there were convoys a mile long heading out to a satellite. A mile might be an exaggeration a little bit, but large convoys. And the whole sport, it's just evolved a lot. It really has. But as I now live down in this part of the world, I can always recall those trips from Michigan coming down here in the midst of the wintertime in February. So happy to be out of the snow and cold, be able to wear just a shirt sleeve, to walk around the grounds and visit with the folks there and have a great time. And that was the design of the Winter Classic, was just to give the coon hunters another choice. It's kind of like this All-American halftime show that happened during the Super Bowl. Just something to give those who wanted something different an opportunity to enjoy that. So anyway, the history of coon hunting in the deep, deep South goes way back. And I will say that these hunters were tough. My good friend, Johnny Brinkley in Tallahassee, is one of those old school coon hunters. He originally came from the state of Georgia, I believe, down to Florida, as so many did, and has just a plethora of stories about his hunts over the years. What's it like hunting down here? Well, they have what they call cypress ponds. These are low-lying areas that usually hold water and have cypress trees in them. Now, the cypress tree, it has somewhat of a bell bottom. It puts up knees, which are shoots that come up from the ground, and they might be just under the water, and it might be, 2 feet tall. But those things are bad boys because they're extremely hard. If you fall on one, you're going to be sore. If you fall just right, you're probably going to have a broken rib or two. They're going to make your shins very sore. Walking into a dog hunting in Florida is most generally going to involve wading water. And that water, if you're lucky, it'll be knee deep. If you're not lucky, it may be chin deep. And of course, we do have all kinds of creatures down here. We have probably the one that I dislike the most and watch for the most is the water moccasin, the cottonmouth. They're kind of an aggressive snake. They will come toward you if they see you. Most hunters down here would carry some kind of a cane or staff or something like that to dispatch those water moccasins with. My long time ago friend John Miller around Tampa carried a machete or a cane knife, they call them down here, and he'd go into the trees first, and if there was a water moccasin around, he'd take care of it, usually come back out with the thing draped over the blade of his knife. It's just a way of life down here. And if you're a longtime Florida coon hunter, you just live with it. You get used to it. You don't see them all the time. There isn't one ever under every bush or in every pothole. I guess the greatest asset to Florida coon hunting is the ability to do it at this time of year when it's cold and frozen in the north. And it's not bad down here at this time of year. It really isn't. With the cold weather that we've had lately, most of the snakes would be in, as we say, would not be active. The gators, the same. I don't know about the pythons because we don't have them up where I hunt, but they're definitely in Florida for sure. And these iguanas that you see going into some kind of a dormant state in the cold weather and falling out of the trees are also something that we don't have in my area. I'm about 30 miles north of Tampa, St. Pete, and we're about 3.5 hours south of the Georgia or Alabama lines. So we don't have the iguanas. I'm crossing right now the Steinhatchee River, a little town called Tenille. Mayo, Florida is off to my east on Route 51. To my west would be the Gulf of America. And I did come up with Mike. Why do I forget these names? They come to me all the time. I'll come back to it. My friend Mike invited me up to Steinhatchee to hunt on his lease up there. And I took Ghost and we hunted a couple nights and had a good time. Hope to get with him again here right away, and he's going to be mad at me for forgetting his last name. We're about 60 miles south of Interstate 10 right now. And of course, I mentioned 10 as being a highway that runs from Jacksonville all the way across northern Florida. I think we picked up Interstate 10 somewhere out around Phoenix when I drove back from California a few years ago. But this side of Florida is wide open. It's looks like you would have a lot of territory to hunt. But it's all tied up in leases, just like anywhere else. Leases everywhere, and mainly for deer hunting. Deer hunting is a big thing down here, but most of the people that deer hunt in Florida do deer hunt with dogs. So that's a good thing. And I've done that, and it's fun. It's fun to listen to them, for sure. I've never been standing on the side of the road when a big buck busts out of the brush and crosses. And I would love to do that. I'd love to have that opportunity to shoot at that buck. I'm sure I'd be hitting 10 feet behind him at every jump. But it would be fun, no doubt. Oh, there's been some coon hunters over the years in Florida. Lawrence Davis, down around Alturas, Florida, was a guy that advertised in magazines quite a bit. walker dogs mainly. Alturas is on Route 60, would be between Bartow and Lake Wales, Florida. Anytime you get over in that part of the country, Sebring, Frostproof, Avon Park, all that area in there, there's a lot of wide open spaces. But it's all filling up now, too. They're building everywhere down here, folks. They're absolutely ruining this state. If you're an outdoorsman, if you love concrete storage facilities and car washes and fast food restaurants, you're going to love it. Now, there's a very good sign to a person that lives in Florida. You have a large motorhome with an RV, with some kind of a sport utility vehicle hitched to the back heading north. That is a good sign. And the more you see them heading north, the better it gets. There's a saying down here. There's Yankees and there's damn Yankees. If you're a Yankee, you come down to visit, you leave your money, and you go back home. If you're a damn Yankee, you come down here and you stay. No, don't mean to throw shade on our folks from the north, but I've just seen two vehicles coming south with towing, two motorhomes. Here's a third one. Several of them coming back. Now, I don't know. They just went up north to see the snow. I don't know. In the part of Florida that I'm in right now, you're going to see a lot of wind damage from the hurricanes. This area up here along the Nature Coast was pretty hard hit by these last two or three hurricanes, and there's a lot of fallen timber. Imagine it's really rough to get into the woods. I'm coming into a little crossroads here called Salem, Florida. Probably never heard of that before. There's a little has-been motel, a little convenience store, and that's about it. But always, 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 when you see a piece of open ground, at this time of year, there's going to be a motorhome sitting there where people come down to get out of the cold weather. And that's what Florida's been to many people for many years. The highway I'm on here is a four-lane, beautiful, wide shoulders, all speed limit 65 miles an hour. Which doesn't seem like enough, as open as this is. Another thing that you see along the highways in the South, and especially if you go up through South Carolina, parts of Georgia, and into Virginia, and all, you see a lot of mistletoe in the tops of the trees. It grows as a green cluster and in an otherwise dormant tree, the leaves are all gone, but you can see the mistletoe. I don't know where the tradition. Oh, look here. There is a flock of wild turkeys. They look to be all hens of various sizes, probably about 8 or 9 turkeys there in that flock. They're up here right along the highway. I don't think there's any grasshoppers at this time of year. Not sure what they're getting. Maybe some kind of bugs. But you see quite a bit of wildlife in Florida. We have lots of deer, as I mentioned, lots of wild hogs, squirrels everywhere, There's a lot of coon down here. The problem is you just can't find places to hunt them. Because of deer leases. And that's the way of the world nowadays. But today has turned into an overcast day, reminiscent of a fall day up north, maybe November. Looks like a good day to go hunting, although I think the deer seasons are closed now. You can run dogs now, and I'm sure those few, the remnant of coon hunters that are here in Florida now, are probably enjoying themselves, but there just aren't that many down here anymore. Once upon a time, I think there were, like a lot of places, there were coon hunters most everywhere. Well, this old highway has kind of gotten into a lonely situation. Not anything going on. I've driven for a couple miles here, haven't seen a building, haven't seen anything really to comment about. I do hope that I got a chance to see you at the Winter Classic, and oh, there was a very small doe deer that was right along the interstate there, or the highway. I almost didn't see her, but she was pretty smart. She didn't try to come out onto the pavement. But this side of the state, you don't see a lot of trucking. I did just pass a semi heading south, or met a semi heading south, but you don't see much of that. I think there's a timber truck here coming. Looks like he's loaded down with pine logs, and I'm sure that's probably going to go, who knows, maybe to a chipper or something. I don't know what they do with that. I don't know. A lot of things I don't know, folks. You know that? There's a lot of things I don't know. But anyway, again, Nubbin and we may get on here and add a little to this podcast as we're traveling. But I sure hope I got a chance to see you in Batesville. And if you hunted up there, I hope you had good luck. Your dog looked real good. My buddy Mark Miller up in North Carolina hunted last night, which was the 10th of February. He said fever tree 3 up one tree. I don't know if that's a couple of boars competing for the heart of a sow coon there at this time of year. Might be. But he's been treeing a few coon. He had a good night here a week or so ago. He treated 4, which is real good for his part of the country. Those of you who are hunting Winter Classic, I hope you did great. Those of you who are hunting the money hunts over in South Carolina way, I hope that you won some money. If you're a dog man, a houndsman, I don't care what you hunt with it. You can hunt field mice with a terrier if you want to. Suits me fine. But anyway, we're all part of this thing together, and appreciate you listening. Want to thank Buddy Woodbury and his lovely wife, Jess, that operate Double U Hunting Supply. Please give those folks a call if you need anything in the line of hound hunting supplies. They're especially good with the electronics, the garments, and all the others. They'll give you great advice, great customer service. And also, I want to thank my big buddy, Mark Zepp, Big Mark Zepp of MarkZepp.com, Zepp Predator Calls. You may remember him all the way back to his days with Wick Outdoor Works. Mark is a top, right guy. He will treat you absolutely right. He's continued the WIC tradition of outstanding products. He's an innovator. He'll have things that you won't be able to find on other sites. You can find my book there, Gone to the Dogs, A Coon Hunter's Journey. He's got a great price on those. They will be signed copies. So go to markzepp.com and tell Mark that you heard about it on the Gone to the Dogs podcast. Folks, that's all for right now from out here on the road along the Gulf of America in the great state of Florida. This is Steve Fielder checking out. We'll catch you up the road somewhere. We'll be gone to the dogs.
We're leaving today and entering a world of Mickey Mouse waving, princess meeting and greeting,
lightsaber clashing, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror dropping,
banshee flying,
Space Mountain launching, galaxy rewinding,
what is the whole network galaxy rewinding,
fireworks igniting, world of other worlds. For whatever you love, infinite worlds await at the most magical place on Earth, Walt Disney World Resort.
From athletic stuff like a full court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff like a half mile stroll. Get those steps in. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
USAA knows dynamic duos can save the day, like superheroes and sidekicks, or auto and home insurance. With USAA, you can bundle your auto and home and save up to 10%. Tap the banner to learn more and get a quote at usaa.com/bundle. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
President's Day savings are happening now at the Home Depot with up to 40% off select appliances. Looking to upgrade your fridge? Check out LG's newest model, serving up ice in all kinds of styles. Cube, crushed, craft ice, and now new mini craft ice straight from the dispenser. From cold brew to fizzy favorites, these refrigerators will have you entertaining like a pro. Shop President's Day savings and get up to 40% off, plus free delivery on select appliances like LG at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $1,498 or more. Offer valid February 5th through the 25th, U.S. only. See store online for details.
Don't chew on that, Max.
Cooper loves that chew, too.
Oh, now he's into Cooper's food. Wow, he is loving it. What do you feed Cooper?
Blue Buffalo Life Protection Formula. He never leaves a crumb. I love it because it's made with high-quality protein, nutrient-rich fruits and veggies, and wholesome whole grains.
Looks like we're switching to Blue.
Blue Buffalo foods are made with the superior ingredients your dog needs to thrive. Can your dog food say that? Visit feedbluefood.com to learn more.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Why aren't you eating right? Because eating right is hard? Because it isn't. Kevin Hart fixed it 4 damn years ago with The One. The One is Vita Hustle's game-changing meal replacing super shake, inspired by Kevin Hart's passion and belief that we all have the right to eat right. Kevin Hart is referring to himself in the third person because he's fired up. Because The One just passed 5 million super shakes sold. 5 million. Just a quick gut-healthy glass of The One gives you all the proteins, all the greens, and all the vitamins and more. One shake, no chaos. Listeners get 20% off their first purchase at VitaHustle.com. Go to VitaHustle.com. That's VitaHustle.com.